Welcome to the Anesthesiology Journal podcast, an audio interview of study authors and editorialists.
Hello, I'm Jim Rathmel, professor of anesthesia at Harvard Medical School and chair of the Department of Anesthesiology, Perioperative and Pain Medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I'm one of the editors for Anesthesiology, and you're listening to an anesthesiology podcast that we've designed specifically for physicians and scientists who are interested in the research that appears in the journal. Today, we're going to talk with one of the authors of an original research article that appears in the September 2022 issue. With us today is Dr. Charles Brown. Dr. Brown is Associate Professor of Anesthesiology and Critical Care Medicine at Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Brown is the senior author on an article that appears in the September 2022 issue of the journal, and it's titled Perioperative Neurofilament Light Plasma Concentrations and Cognition Before and After Cardiac Surgery, a Prospective Nested Cohort Study. Dr. Brown, thank you for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much for having me, and very thankful for the opportunity to talk about this manuscript and explain further background.
Well, first, congratulations on the publication of your study. Let's start with a little background on neurofilament light. What is it? How's it measured? And what do we know about its relationship to human cognition?
So neurofilament light is part of a neurofilament oligomer that provide an important role in forming the neuronal axonal scaffold for neurons that help in terms of function and structure. So it's important to understand that damage to the central nervous system may lead to release of neurofilament light, both in cerebrospinal fluid as well as increased blood levels. And this has been shown in both stroke as well as traumatic brain injury. And in addition, increasing neurofilament light is also seen with increasing age. So neurofilament light can be measured both in the cerebrospinal fluid as well as in the blood. And a relatively recent assay and technology called the Simoa assay has allowed measurement of neurofilament light in the blood, and it's at lower concentration than traditional molecules have been measured, and the new assay allows that. In terms of what we know about levels of neurofilament light and cognition, especially in the perioperative period. So first of all, we know that plasma and CSF neurofilament lights have been shown in community cohorts, especially in cohorts that are focused on Alzheimer's disease, that levels of neurofilament light correlate both with baseline cognition as well as longitudinal neurocognitive decline. In the perioperative period, several years ago, it was noted by Liz Everett's group that neurofilament light increases after surgery. And this group measured it in the first 2 days and found an increase in neurofilament light compared to baseline. Subsequent to that, several groups have looked at the relationship of perioperative concentrations of neurofilament light and delirium as a short-term neurocognitive outcome. There have been relationships shown of increasing or higher levels of baseline neurofilament light and increased risk for postoperative delirium, generally in non-cardiac surgery cohorts, as well as associations of changes in neurofilament light, so more release of neurofilament light in the perioperative period, also being associated with increased risk for delirium. However, all of these relationships have not been consistent across several studies. In terms of cognition, there are fewer number of studies that have examined the association of neurofilament light and longer-term cognitive change. One study in the non-cardiac surgery population did find that a higher level of neurofilament light at 1 month was associated with a decline in cognition from baseline. Another study in hip surgery patients under spinal anesthesia found no difference in neurofilament light changes and a cognitive outcome measured at 3 months. So there is some conflicting literature, and this motivated our work to examine the association of neurofilament light and cognitive outcomes in a cardiac surgery population.
All right, so circulating levels of neurofilament light can serve as a marker of neuronal injury. It can be measured in blood, and postoperative increases in neurofilament light have been associated with delirium after non-cardiac surgery. So you set out to study neurofilament light and its relationship to neurocognitive dysfunction in cardiac surgery patients. What was your original hypothesis for this study, and how did you select that hypothesis and how you wanted to test it?
So in this study, our hypothesis was that higher levels of baseline neurofilament light, as well as change in neurofilament light from baseline to postoperative day one, would be associated with worse cognitive outcomes, both at baseline 1 month and 1 year after surgery. We were particularly interested in the cardiac surgery population because this population is thought to be at the highest risk for cognitive change after surgery and has been studied less in the neurofilament light literature.
So this was an observational study, and it was nested in a trial of cardiac surgery patients in which blood pressure during bypass was targeted using cerebral autoregulation monitoring. Can you explain exactly how the study was nested in another study and how it was conducted?
The original study was a interventional trial of mean arterial blood pressure targeting during cardiopulmonary bypass using monitors of cerebral autoregulation with the hypothesis that keeping a patient's blood pressure above the lower limit of autoregulation would be beneficial. In that study, the intervention was not successful in changing the primary composite outcome, but in a smaller sub-study, there was a reduction in delirium in the intervention arm. So during the course of that study, blood samples had been collected, and so this study design was using observational methods, looking at data collected as part of the trial, and in particular, data included baseline and postoperative day one blood samples, as well as a composite cognitive battery at baseline 1 month and 1 year. So in this study design, we used a composite score of cognition at baseline 1 month and 1 year. The primary outcomes were the composite score at each time point, as well as change from baseline to each time point. There were a couple methodologic aspects to point out. As with many studies, there were missing data at the 1 month and 1 year time point. And so we used several techniques to account for this, including multiple imputation and a method known as the Delta method to account for potential missingness not at random that could be influenced by patient compliance or baseline cognitive status. In addition, we conducted several sensitivity analyses to account for various potentially confounding variables, as well as the definition of our primary outcome.
So what did you learn?
So there are several observations to highlight from this study. First, as other groups have reported, we did see an increase in neurofilament light from baseline to postoperative day one after cardiac surgery. Second, we found in cross-sectional analysis that higher concentrations of neurofilament light were associated with worse cognitive Z-scores at baseline. And this would be expected and is similar to the background literature that I highlighted earlier. Next, we found that higher concentrations of neurofilament light at baseline were not associated with a change in cognition at 1 month, but were associated with an improvement in cognition at 1 year. So those are the important results in terms of baseline neurofilament light. Next, we looked at change in neurofilament light from baseline to postoperative day one. Again, we saw that higher change in neurofilament light was not associated with change in cognition at 1 month, but was associated with decline in cognition at 1 year. We conducted several sensitivity analyses to look at different potentially confounding variables. At baseline, we had adjusted for age, gender, race, and a measure of comorbidity. We also examined different ways to model the outcome, and in each of these sensitivity analysis, we found similar inferences. Finally, we looked at how these effects might be different across different subgroups of patients, and in particular, we looked at subgroups of lower and higher baseline cognitive scores, as well as by age. And in these subgroup analyses, we did see more pronounced associations of change in neurofilament light with decline in cognition at a year in the subgroup of patients with lower baseline cognition. There were a number of these subgroup analyses, so these really are hypothesis generating.
So were there any limitations to the study?
So as with many observational studies, there are a number of limitations that are important to consider. So first, we did only examine one marker of neuronal injury, and that was neurofilament light, but there are several others to potentially consider, including tau, phosphorylated tau, other markers of neuroinflammation. We only had blood samples until postoperative day one, and other groups have shown increasing neurofilament light levels after that, and so that also is a limitation. We did not have cerebrospinal fluid, and so we are not able to examine a more central location of neurofilament light in association with cognitive outcomes. Although other groups have shown that there are correlations and strong correlations of cerebrospinal fluid levels and blood levels in cross-sectional data. There are missing cognitive outcomes at a month and a year. And as discussed, we applied several methods to impute cognitive data, both to account for missingness at random and not at random. And these inferences were similar across different approaches. There's always a possibility of potentially confounding variables that were not accounted for. And then finally, I'd like to talk a little bit more about other interpretation of the results that we have found. We did find that higher levels of baseline neurofilament light were associated with cognitive improvement at a year. And so this potentially could be used to identify patients who may benefit from cardiac surgery. And potential mechanisms for that include increased perfusion, cerebral perfusion. However, we also want to point out that this finding also could be explained by statistical artifacts such as regression to the mean. We did several sensitivity analyses, including modeling the outcome as a follow-up outcome, not a change outcome, and found similar inferences, so this is less likely but important to point out. In terms of our finding that increased change in neurofilament light was associated with cognitive decline at a year, this could be interpreted as evidence of neuronal injury that's associated with cognitive decline out to a year. However, there are other also alternative hypotheses to consider, including that increased blood-brain barrier permeability may result in increased release of neurofilament light, and thus the neurofilament light may not be in the causal pathway. Additionally, increased release of neurofilament light may be a biomarker of brain vulnerability in patients who may have cognitive decline anyway. In summary, I think it's important to consider both the limitations of the study design as well as potential hypotheses to explain the results as well as other potential explanations as well.
Well, I think that's a pretty good summary. And I think what you're saying is that there's much work to be done before we can use this as a clinical biomarker that actually changes our approach to the patient. So what comes next for you and your research group?
As next steps, we will continue to examine potential markers of vulnerability and damage, including other analytes such as tau and phosphorylated tau, as well as other markers of inflammation, and some of this work is ongoing. We also are conducting an observational cohort study in which we will again be assessing cognition at baseline 1 month and 1 year after cardiac surgery. We will be collecting blood at baseline after surgery, postoperative day one and postoperative day two. So with this study, we'll be able to look at longer changes in neurofilament light. And importantly, we'll be able to understand if the results that we found in this current study are replicated and validated in a second observational study.
Terrific. I hope today's discussion will lead many of you listening to read this new article that appears in the September 2022 issue of Anesthesiology, where you can learn more about neurofilament light and postoperative cognition. Doctors Holly Endy and John Wanderer from Vanderbilt University created an infographic that's titled "The New Biomarker in Town" that summarizes the findings of this study. Dr. Brown, thank you for joining me today and for the terrific explanations.
Thanks very much for having me today.
You've been listening to the Anesthesiology Journal Podcast, the official peer-reviewed journal of the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Check anesthesiology.org for an archive of this podcast and other related content.